I want you to look at this picture on the screen. The man on the left is Dick Butkus, and he was inducted in 2010 into the Hall of Fame. He was one of the greatest linebackers to ever play the game. Now, the other man in this picture is not as recognizable. His name is Floyd Little. He was a great running back, and he played at the University of Syracuse, and he went on to play with the Denver Broncos. And Floyd Little was not just known for his elusiveness, but for his toughness. He was not a big man, but he was determined to play like a big man, and also just as determined to never let anyone know he was hurt. He did say, however, the hardest he ever got hit was from Dick Butkus. Butkus laid him out, but he wasn't going to show it. So he jumped right back up and he got into Butkus' face and he said, "Is that all you got? Was that the best hit you could give?" And Butkus looked at him and he said, "Are you all right, Floyd? Because I thought you were a hard hitter. Is that all you got?" And again, Butkus said, "Floyd, are you sure you're okay?" And Floyd's a little annoyed, and he says, "Why do you keep asking me that?" Butkus said, "Because, Floyd, you're in the wrong huddle." In the same way, God wants you in a different place. He will send you a message, and the message that he will send is that he's sending you somewhere else. Now, we have started this series that we have called. And we're going to look at times in the Bible where God called. And this morning, we're going to look at probably one of the best known and most important calls in our Bible. And what we're going to see is that it is normative for all calls that God calls to send. So look with me at what the Hebrew writer says about Abraham. In chapter 11, Hebrews 11, beginning in the 8th verse, it says this: "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." And what I am going to contend this morning is that this kind of call is not the exception. It is instead the rule. And the reason I have for that is theological, because I believe this. Write it down. Scripture clearly presents God as a sender. It is never God's will that we remain where he finds us. You cannot find anywhere in your Bible where God called anybody and said, "Stay right where you are." You cannot follow God and stay where you are. So let's look at this call, and this is a call that I think is a model for all calls. Out of the 12th chapter of Genesis, this is what Justin read at the beginning of our service. It says this: "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" Now, remember, Abraham is consistently presented in Scripture as a man that models the kind of faith that God is looking for. And this faith is principally demonstrated in his willingness to obey the sender. I think that's why throughout the scripture you have language that has movement as the message. Language about seeking, about walking by faith, about running the race, about being pilgrims on a journey. And the reason God calls you and me to move are the exact same reasons God called Abraham: to bless us and to help us become a blessing to somebody else. So God comes into our lives and he says, follow me. Because where you are now, you are living in barrenness. You don't have a future there. I want to bless you. And I want you to be used by me to bless other people as well. And that means that you need to travel. God is still a sender. And we are all his missionaries. The saved life is a sent life. Faith is not to be sedentary. In fact, I would argue that if your faith is sedentary and immobile, it's actually going backwards. Christians never turn in a walking staff for a rocking chair. But sometimes we do. Just like Abraham. I want you to look at this very interesting verse in the 11th chapter of Genesis. Verse 31 says, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan, but when they came to Haran, they settled there. Now notice, Abram is traveling with Terah, his father, and Lot, his nephew, although there is no record that God ever called Lot or Terah. In fact, God specifically said to leave your household. Well, he left his house, but he didn't leave his household. I want you to look at this map. This is a part of the world that is known as the Fertile Crescent. Ur was a city at the base of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, and they poured into the Persian Gulf. And those two rivers were the main waterways of the ancient world. And that meant that there was water in plenty, there was green grass, and it was a very populated place to live. Now, Ur is at the bottom of this crescent, and Haran is at the top. What that means is that when you're traveling from Ur up to Haran, the travel is not too hard. You have lots of water. You have lots of pasture for your herds. And they go up from Ur up to Haran, and something happens. And what happens in Haran almost trumps the call of God. And my personal opinion is that it was probably the belligerence of Terah. Because you get to Haran, and suddenly the river's gone, and the grass is gone, and after Haran, all you have is sand. And he thinks to himself, I'm an old man. I've already walked a long way. There's water here. There's grass here. And besides that, I went down to the local temple, and they worship the same idols that I used to worship back in Ur. I'm not moving any farther, son. I'm settling down here. Something happened to Abram's call, and it's the same thing that happens or hinders our obedience to God's call. Partial obedience. How many of us have left Ur bound for Canaan, but we stopped in Haran, short of God's call? It's the great seduction. Well, you're not where you used to be. Don't get too radical. Don't take this thing too far. Settle down. Make your home in Haran. There is this bike race in India that has an interesting goal. The goal is to see who can go the least amount of distance. The gun goes off and they start to pedal. And if your feet ever touch the ground, you're out of the race. And when the gun goes off again, the person that has stayed balanced on their bicycle but gone the least amount of distance is actually declared the winner. Do you know any Christians like that? It is the seduction of Haran. The problem is this: partial obedience is an oxymoron. It is a contradiction in terms. I'm about to illustrate this with you, but this is complete fantasy. I need you to understand this never happened. Imagine if when my sons lived in my home and I said to them, "Son, the trash in the kitchen is overflowing. Please go take the trash out to the street." And they go into the kitchen, they grab the bag, they tie the bag, they walk the bag to the front door, they lay it there by the front door and go sit down on the couch and watch television. This is complete fantasy. This never would have happened. But have they done what I asked? "Son, I thought I told you to take the trash out. It's not in the kitchen anymore, Dad. What's your problem?" Would I consider that getting the job done? You see, I need you to write this down. Partial obedience is actually disobedience. Until you have done all that God said to do, you haven't done what God said to do. My guess is that most of us today struggle with a Haran in our lives. There is a part of our life where we have said, "God, I'm not going past this point." Maybe it's in our finances. "I'm not going there, God. I'm not tithing. I'm not doing it." Maybe it's in our relationships. "God, I know we shouldn't be doing the things that we're doing right now, but this is the one thing in my life that's giving me intimacy, and I'm not giving this up, God." Maybe it's with a sin that we're refusing to confess and deal with. Maybe it's our fear in witnesses. We all have a Haran. There is a place in our life where we have said, "You know, I have made some progress, but this is as far as I'm going to go." We need to return to the sender. What is that going to require of us? Well, three things. First, it's going to take a surrender of my need to walk by sight. You see, we read this story and we know that Abraham is supposed to end up in Canaan. The thing is, he did not know that. Look again with me in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going." Let me tell you why a lot of us get a call from God and we listen for a few moments and then we hang up. Because we are hung up on having to know the outcome. "Well, if I start tithing, am I going to get that promotion? You give me the promotion, and then I'm going to start tithing. If I obey you, God, in this, are you going to assure me that my marriage is going to be rock solid? You give me that, and I'm going to quit this. God, you show me where I'm going to wind up if I obey you, and then I will obey." I want you to see this beautiful animal. This magnificent beast is the African impala. We think it's impressive that a man can jump up and grab the rim of a basketball goal that's 10 feet high. Well, an impala can jump off the ground over a basketball goal. It can jump over 10 feet. And you say, "Well, how in the world can you keep something like that in a zoo?" It's very simple. They can put that animal behind a wall that's only a few feet high because it's going to stay there if it cannot see where it will land when it jumps. It will not move unless it first knows the outcome, so it stays in a prison that it should not be kept in. What is faith? At its simplest level, faith is bare trust in God's word because you believe God is good. It comes down to this, really. Does God want to curse me or does God want to bless me? You see, God knows if I stay where I am, it's going to produce barrenness. And so God says, I'm not calling you to hurt you. I'm calling you to bless you. And I'm calling you to help you become a blessing. And obedience to that call means relinquishing my need to control the outcome. Or to put it another way, you cannot hear a call from God if you insist on calling all the shots. God is waiting for, here I am, send me. Returning to the sender means I surrender my need to walk by sight. It's also going to take a surrender of my need to bring my idols. You have got to travel light. So God told Abraham to let go of all his past insecurities. The question that Abraham had to answer was this: is this new God worthy of surrendering all of my old gods to? It is the same question that you and I have to answer as well. If we want to be a disciple of Jesus, then we have to put him ahead of all of our personal relationships, of all of our personal ambitions, of all of our personal possessions. Discipleship demands that we get rid of excess baggage, anything hindering my following the call of God. Let me tell you a story about Walt Disney. The very first animated movie that they created was a classic called Snow White. It is over 80 years old. It was released in 1938, and it is still movie greatness. He had some of his best animators work on one particular scene for 240 days. I just want you to wrap your mind around that for a second. You have given just shy of 8 months of your life to draw a 4.5 minute scene where the dwarves are making supper for Snow White. And some of you are thinking, well, I don't remember that scene. That's because it's actually not in the movie. Disney said it was funny and it was brilliantly drawn, but it hindered the flow of the story, so he cut it out. And that is what discipleship demands. It demands that we cut out anything, even if it is a really good thing. We cut out anything that is keeping me from moving in the flow of the Spirit of God. The reason that we get stuck in Haran is because we have a competing affection. We have a terror in our life that doesn't want to move. Do you know how God got Abraham to move? Terah died. God is not opposed to taking away your terror, but he would much rather that you give it up. I think that's what the Hebrew writer had in mind. He says at the start of chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Remember, last week I said that life is a series of calls. It's not just God calling you. Every day we're getting calls. And if the call that you are answering has got your faith life stuck, you're picking up the wrong phone. What does it mean to return to the sender? It means that I surrender my need to walk by sight. It means I need to let go of my idols. And you know what? It means that I need to surrender my need to feel settled. And this is going to challenge us here in America, because what are we always telling people? Why don't you grow up and settle down? I tell you, they should get married and settle down. Someday I'm going to retire to that house on the lake and I'm just going to settle down. You see, the world says settling down is the goal. And the Bible says settling down is the problem. I think it's significant that you never again read that Abraham settled anywhere. Even in the promised land, the Bible says that he lived the rest of his life in a tent. He would pitch his tent and he would build an altar to God. By the way, it never says he built an altar in Haran. Altars are built by pilgrims, not settlers. He spent the rest of his life pitching his tent and building an altar. Every time he moved, the only thing that he would leave behind was a pile of rocks. And you know, his pagan neighbors must have thought that he was the weirdest dude they had ever seen. But that's because they had not heard his call. They could not understand why he wasn't living to own a piece of the land. He was living by a different message. The Hebrew writer says this in verses 15 and 16. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And I love those verses. God looks down and he says, you see that one? He's living sent. He's living mobile. He's ready at a moment's notice to go where I need him to go. Now, I need you to understand that the goal of this series is not necessarily to get you to change your location. Not everyone is going to hear the call to move to a new location. It is not so much about changing your location, but it's about changing your vocation. It is my prayer for you that you will live every day for your calling instead of settling for a living. It might just be to be more alert to that couple that you see when you're in Walmart. But there's two kinds of living. There's living in the flow and the move of the Spirit of God, and there's stuck faith. And one is a blessing, and one is just so barren. There is a story about a duck. He is flying with other ducks over a farm, and he looks down, and he sees some ducks on the ground, and he flies down to check it out. They're domesticated ducks. And he starts to investigate and he thinks, this is not a bad life. They've got all the food they could ever want and it's just brought to them. They don't have to search for it. They are protected from predators. This is a really good life. So he stays and he gets fat and he gets lazy. But the following spring, the ducks are flying back over. And there is something in his spirit that says, that is where I really belong. And he tries to join them, but he can't. He's too heavy to fly anymore. And the story ends with this line. He's a pretty good duck for the shape he's in, but he's not the duck he could have been. Is your faith life stuck? You need to ask why. You need to ask, what is my Haran? Where is the place in my life that I've settled for less than God is actually calling me to? I want you to admit that to God this morning. So I'm going to ask you to stand up and I want to lead you in a time of prayer. Right now, with your eyes closed, your head bowed, I want you to tell the Lord the part of your life where you have just settled. Take a moment right now and just tell God, Lord, I've settled in this arena. I know I've settled here. Do some business with the Lord right now. God, you are our God. We will seek you in the morning. We will learn to walk in your ways. We will do this because we have been called. In Jesus' name.